Hey friends, it's good to be with you today. I'm Ricky James, a senior pastor at First Methodist Clinton, and we are excited that you're joining us either online or listening to us at Supertalk FM. We're continuing a sermon series called Fear Not, looking at passages of Scripture in which we are commanded to not have fear. And that can be tough sometimes, particularly when you watch the news. So we're going to talk about that. How do we understand the fear that rises up into us, and what can we do when we are confronted with news that makes us afraid? So, whether or not you enjoy or never watch the news, we're going to bring you some different type of news today. Fear not. Thanks for being with us.
Would you join me now in affirming our faith using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
friends, this week, I, like many of you, perhaps packed off your kids and sent them to school with our prayers and our blessings. And hopefully they'll stay in school this year. But one of the things we did here at the church was give a tag, a little card to attach to the backpacks of all of our kids as a tangible sign of our blessings and prayers. And the way that we're able to do things like that, even little things like giving them a little bag tag, is because of your generosity. So I want you to know that you're helping to bless and pray for students around the school district and around our county. And so thank you for that. I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work. Your offering makes differences like that. So you can always give at firstmethodistclinton.org/giving. You can mail your check to 100 Mount Salis Road, or drop the check off the next time you're in the neighborhood. We'd love to see you anyway. So however you choose to give, remember, it makes an eternal difference.
Good morning, everyone. I'm glad you're joining us today. I'm Miss Nikki, and we're going to have a few moments for the kids. Everyone likes to receive good news, don't they? I enjoy getting cards and notes from my friends and relatives. And at Christmas time, I especially like to get all the different Christmas cards and see all their pictures and to hear all about the different things that have been happening in their lives during the past year. The Bible is like that. It's good news sent from God to you and I. And we read about God's plan and purpose for our lives. And we can find out how much He loves us. And that's always good to know, isn't it? To know that we are loved. Sometimes I receive an announcement that a new baby is born. And that is good news. You know, the shepherds received a birth announcement on a starry night nearly 2,000 years ago. It was sent to announce the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The word gospel means good tidings or good news. So today, I want us to look at the good news that Luke records for us. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, the gospel says, "Fear not, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." When the angel messengers of God came to the shepherds and spoke those two words, "Fear not," the shepherds were probably afraid when the angels first came to them. But when they heard the good news that Jesus was born, they were filled with great joy, and it brought them comfort and happiness, and it ended their fear. What do you think an angel looks like? We usually think of angels in long, white robes with wings, don't we? But do you know what? Angels don't always have wings. Angels sometimes look like ordinary people, and they might look like you or me or anyone else that we meet. And you may not realize this, but each one of us can be an angel. We can be God's messengers by sharing the good news, just like the angels who took God's message to the shepherds. We're God's angels whenever we share the message of Jesus' birth with others. So spread the good news, little angels. Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the joy and love that we know in Christmas. Help us to be messengers of that joy and love. May we be your angels all year, and give us the courage to share the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me now in praying to our Lord using the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray? Saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
I believe that one of the biggest contributors to a lot of our fear in this world is actually the news that we consume. What we watch on TV or read online, or if some of you are old-fashioned like me and still actually get a newspaper, you know, that paper thing. When we read the news, a lot of us are afraid. And what we read, I know it's not an earth-shattering idea, by any means. I'm not the first person to reflect on this. But I really do think that as we read and consume news, we can find ourselves afraid. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to stop reading the news, but we do need to understand what a lot of media, whether it's online or in print or on TV, what a lot of them do in order to be successful. And again, not an earth-shattering idea. You may have heard this. But the business model, the way that media companies make their money, is by selling ads. And so ad revenue is important to newspapers, to online, to television stations. The way they make money is by selling ad time. And the way that they then get better and more expensive ads is to get more people watching and consuming their news. Great, great business model, because it really is a supply and demand kind of thing. But here's the thing that newspapers and TV stations and Facebook and things like that, they figured out a long time ago that if they can produce fear, then more people will stay tuned. If something is scary or something is unsettling, people will watch longer and more often, which means they can sell more ads. And I'll be honest with you, that's perfectly fine for those companies. That's how they make money, and everybody in the country is free to make money in ways that they see fit. But here's the thing that I want you to understand. The reason why so much of our news is based around items that bring up fear is because those companies have figured out that fear sells. Fear of the other, fear of the unknown, fear of not having enough, fear of places you shouldn't go, foreign countries in which there's so much war and strife. That fear, that anxiety, keeps us hooked to watching those stations or reading those articles or clicking on those links. Now, again, this doesn't mean that you need to stop watching the news. Far from it. But rather understand the fear and the anxiety and the worry that you're struggling with. A lot of it is probably what you're consuming through media. So I want to talk about how we counteract that fear. In this sermon series that we've called Fear Not, we're looking at passages of Scripture which teach us why, as people of God, our response can be to fear not. Now, today's passage is one of my personal favorites. This Fear Not passage comes in the midst of a story that I know you have heard before, but probably not during the month of August. And it's from the Gospel of Luke. I want you to hear this story. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Fear not. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, some of you may be thinking, "Ricky, this isn't Christmas. What are you doing reading that passage?" Well, partly I'm tired of all the heat, and I'm looking forward to Christmas. But more honestly, just like Easter, I think we can celebrate Christmas year-round. Because Christmas is the story of the birth of our Savior. And that story deserves to be told as often as the story of His resurrection from the dead. But what I love about this is that message the angel brings. Fear not. I bring you good news. I don't know about you, but in the face of all of the bad news that I hear all the time and that fear that can begin to well up after reading yet another article that is just full of bad news, I need some good news. And here in the Scripture, the angel of the Lord says, "Fear not, I bring you good news." But I want to talk to you about the exact word that the angel uses there. Because I think understanding what exactly the angel means when he says good news, I think that might help us to understand just how good this news is. So, many of you probably know, if you've spent any time with me, I'm going to give us a little Greek lesson here. So, the Gospel of Luke, the book of Luke, is not written in English. It's written in a language called Greek, which many people in the world spoke in the first century AD. And the word the angel uses here is the Greek word euangelion. Don't worry, there's no quiz at the end of this, but just go with me here. Euangelion. It's actually a compound word. Euangelion. And the compound word literally means good news. Euangelion. And so what the angel is saying here is, I bring you a message, a good message. But that word euangelion in the time of Luke, in the time of Jesus, it had a very particular meaning within the Roman Empire. The Romans ruled the whole world. They had taken over every habitable land in the world. And the idea behind an euangelion was distinctly Roman. And so, in the Roman Empire, an euangelion, that message, had three particular uses. It would be used when a would announce a victory in battle. Good news, we defeated the Persians. Euangelion, we are victorious. Second, that word was used when a messenger of the emperor would come and announce that there was a new emperor. You know, the old emperor had died. Here's the new emperor. Good news, Tiberius is now the emperor. Euangelion. The third was if the emperor was going to come visit your town. You know, a little royal visit to cheer everybody up. Ahead of time, a messenger from the emperor would come and say, Euangelion, good news, the emperor is coming to visit you. So you see, that word, euangelion, has a very particular meaning in the first century. It is intimately connected with the Roman Empire and the idea of what was being announced and called good news. And so messengers throughout the empire would be sent out, and they would go from town to town, village to village, to share this good news, announcing a great victory, announcing a new king, announcing that that king was coming to visit you. Euangelion, good news. Now, for many people, under the rule of the Roman Empire, those announcements were not exactly good news. For most people, particularly the people that we read about in this story, they're not Romans. They're not people of power. And these announcements, although they were called good news, oftentimes they didn't change anything in these people's lives. In fact, sometimes they even brought more work, more taxes, more war, more fighting. So it's interesting, don't you think, that Luke, in this gospel, records that the angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, comes and announces good news? Using that word, euangelion, good news. Well, I think that if we take a step back and look at the whole picture of what's happening in the Scripture at this moment, perhaps we can see kind of why it's earth-shattering, literally, but also deeply important that this word gets used. Fear not, shepherds. I bring you euangelion. I bring you a good news. Because, shepherds, a new king has been born. And guess what? That new king, he's visiting you just over the hill in Bethlehem. You can go see him now. He's waiting for you. Euangelion. I think the angel of the Lord does this on purpose. Taking this term that had brought fear and uncertainty to an oppressed people and announcing the good news that their oppression was now over. And in fact, the followers of Jesus begin to use this term. They kind of take it away from the Romans and began to use the term euangelion to cover the entirety of the message of Jesus, not just about the good news of his birth, but about his work, his life, his death, and his resurrection. The whole story of Jesus becomes the good news of the euangelion. This word appears 76 times in the New Testament, 56 alone in Paul. Paul begins to use the word euangelion to point us to the good news of Jesus himself. The good news that Paul will begin to talk about, this euangelion, this good news, is of the saving grace of God made available through the person of Jesus, through his redemptive death and his glorious resurrection. All of the story becomes the good news, the euangelion, the announcement. Fear not, I bring you good news. A king has been born. He has visited us, and he has won a great victory over death and sin. It's no wonder then that the Christians begin to use this word. When there are messages from the emperor around the Mediterranean sharing euangelions about Roman emperors and Roman battles and Roman victory, this small group of followers of Jesus begin to use a message, an euangelion of a king who was born, of a God who dwelled with us, and of a great battle that he won on our behalf. Good news, euangelion, fear not. You can see why that message becomes so powerful. Now, over time, the language of the Greeks began to be replaced entirely by the Latin language. And in Greek, that U begins to be translated into the Latin V. And so we began to pronounce that word not euangelion, but evangel. The evangel, the good news. Fear not, I bring you an evangel. His name is Jesus. And you can imagine that the messengers of that good news began to be called evangelists, those who bring the good news, those who bring the evangel. And so these evangelists take this message, this announcement of a new king born who dwelled among us and who won a victory over sin and death. They begin to take that message of good news around the world. Some of the evangelists write books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Some of the evangelists become great teachers and preachers. Some of the evangelists become great missionaries like Paul, Silas, and Barnabas. Some of the evangelists open house churches like Lydia, Prisca, and Aquila. All of them are messengers of this evangel, telling a weary and worried world, "Fear not, I bring you good news. A king has been born. He has lived among us and has won a great battle." So some of those evangelists will end up taking the good news to a strange and distant group of islands that the Romans called Britannia. And on Britannia, those folks, the Anglo-Saxons, spoke a completely different language than Latin, or Greek for that matter, certainly didn't know Hebrew. And so when the evangelists began to share with them the good news, the evangel, the euangelion of Jesus, those Anglo-Saxons began to think it was a good story. That is good news. A very good story. And so they translated it into their word, Godspell. And of course, over time, that becomes gospel. The word gospel is the good news, the euangelion, the evangel, the great and good announcement that a king has been born. He lives and dwells among us, and he has won a great battle over the power of sin and death. Over time, that gospel will spread throughout the world, even to a place like Mississippi, in which we are called to hear that. Fear not. I bring you good news. So, my friends, in this often unsettling and uncertain time, it's okay to watch the news. It's good to be informed about what's going on. But remember, when you feel that fear welling up inside, that anxiety, that uncertainty, that palpable sense that what's next? It's okay to not put all your faith in that news, but rather to remember the good news. And remember how on one night, quite unexpectedly, to an unexpected group of shepherds, a messenger of the Lord came to them and said, "Fear not. I bring you good news." Well, friends, the next time you're watching the news, at the very end, just turn it off, close out Facebook, take a deep breath, and hear the messenger of the Lord. Fear not. We have good news. Amen.
Come behold the wondrous mystery in the dawning of the King. He, the theme of heaven's praises, robed in frail humanity. In our longing, in our darkness, now the light of life has come. Look to Christ who condescended, took on flesh to ransom us. Come behold the the perfect Son of Man, in His living, in His suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law, in Him we stand. Come behold the wondrous mystery, Christ the Lord upon the tree. In the stead of ruined sinners hangs the Lamb in victory. See the price of our redemption. See the Father's plan unfold, bringing many sons to glory, grace unmeasured, love the one. But no grave could e'er restrain him. Praise the Lord, he is alive. What a foretaste of deliverance. How unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes. Oh, what a foretaste of deliverance. How unwavering our hope. Christ in power resurrected, as we will be when he comes.
Well, friends, as you go forth this week, remember, fear not. We have good news. A king has been born to us. He lives with us, and he has won the victory. So we can fear not and take the good news to the world. Amen.